Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Let's stand together, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter and chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Number one, be sober. We're at war. Not only for the soul of a nation, but for the souls of people. We have an adversary. He is not your friend. He's your enemy. His name is the devil. We're to resist him, not go along, not be camouflage, not become part of the problem. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Just a preface to this, if I were the devil, first thing I'd be doing is I'd be going after Israel. I'd do my best to destroy the nation Israel. If you know the Bible, you know that the devil has tried to do that again and again and again. And in modern history, since the book of Revelation, he has tried that multiple times. Anti-Semitism, by the way, is on the grow, and it is popular worldwide. Next thing I would do is I would crush the church. Now, how the devil was going to destroy Israel was through sin. And how the devil would crush the church is through sin. What the devil didn't understand is although sin took place and is taking place, there's a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And the church was designed by God to exalt Israel, designed by God, seed of Abraham, the Savior would come through him. The Savior, promises made to Abraham, and the Savior, Jesus Christ, would come through the seed of Abraham. A Savior was coming, in spite of Abraham's wrongdoing, in spite of man and Israel's wrongdoing. And then God ordained the church. And the church, like I preached last Sunday morning, is a bridge between the Old Testament Jews and the kingdom. The church is that bridge that it's God's idea. It is God giving the entire planet another opportunity to get born again before the rapture, before Jesus starts Jacob's trouble, before Jesus starts the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation period to bring Israel back to God. And again, I'm reminded of this. God is so full of grace. God is so full of mercy. Not only did he send the Savior, his idea was a church was going to reach the entire planet again with the gospel. Give them opportunity before I turn my direction back on Israel again. And here we are, right at the end of the church age. What an opportunity we have. We as a people of God, we are called. We were born again for this hour. That's who the church is. We were born again for this hour. If I were the devil, I'd have done my best to destroy Israel, and don't you know, he's done his best. Haymakers. I'd do my best to crush the church so that we look other places. Go to Genesis in chapter 3 and verse 15. Adam had sinned. Eve had sinned. Man had fallen. Fellowship was broken. God was displeased. Verse 15 says, I will put enmity, he's talking to the serpent here, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Nevertheless, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Nevertheless, that's the first messianic prophecy. That's talking about Jesus. Through the seed of the woman, then through Abraham, a Savior is going to come, and it will be your undoing, Satan. Let's talk about Satan real quick, and then we're going to fly through our Bibles. If I cover them all, I've got 7 points here this morning. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to cover it all, but I want you to know who we're dealing with. Go to Ezekiel and chapter 28. We'll start with that. Ezekiel chapter 28. This is talking about Satan. I'm just going to read it without comment, and then I'm going to summarize very quickly and get to my 7 points here this morning. This is talking about Satan. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He's not deity. He'll never be deity. Lucifer is a created angel of God. He's the master of the choir, of the music in heaven. The archangel that was lifted up with pride, verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways. He was created perfect. And from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all men, of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, and thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Satan, Lucifer, lifted up with pride, created archangel of God, master of all the music. Talks about his tabrets there. He was the professional. He was the perfect in all of his ways. God made him that way. All he had to do was stay faithful. That's all he had to do. But he had pride in his heart. He started looking at himself and he saw his beauty. And people probably, I don't know exactly how it happened, but he got lifted up with ambition within. And then Isaiah chapter 14, don't turn there. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will become God. I will sit on the throne of the Most High. He said, I will, I will, I will. And he convinced a third of the angels of heaven to follow him. Lucifer is a defeated being. He was cast down to this earth. We already read 1 Peter chapter 5. He walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He can only be in one place at one time. He's a created being. He is not deity. He sinned. He lost the war of heaven, cast down to this earth. A third of the angels, a third of those fallen angels are demons in chains of hell today that will be released in the second half of the tribulation. Satan himself walks the surface of this planet looking for the weak, looking for those that are like him. Self-worship. Self-indulgence. I'm beautiful. Watch me. Look at me. He's looking for those, the weak, that stray from the shepherd so he can consume them. What I would do if I were the devil, I'd already mentioned that I would attack Israel. I'd already mentioned that I would try to do my best to crush the church. I may come back to that in just a moment. I would attack the family, the nuclear family, the God-ordained family, because a nation cannot be stronger than its family units, nor a church will not be stronger than its families within the church, for the church is people. It'd be a master blow to destroy the family. And look at America today. Nobody can even define a family today in the country in which we live. That just blows my mind. That is so far. We have drifted so fast and so far as a nation. And now things are being accepted that are totally wrong. They're abominations to God. They're perversion with God. Listed in the scripture. Laid right out in black and white. And yet we know better. And that's a sad deal. One thing I would do if I were the devil, this is number one. All those other things is a preface. And again, the devil's not your friend. His motto is wreck and ruin. Wreck and ruin. And it may be, you know, incrementally, where your family doesn't fall apart right away, or, you know, but the seed has been planted and things just continue to get worse and worse and unravel. But we need the Lord Jesus Christ more than the church has ever needed him before. As a people of God, one thing I would do is I would steal the hearts of God's children. Go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Steal the hearts of God's children. You see, it's all about the heart, right? God wants our heart. He wants us to love him with all of our heart. He wants us to serve him with all of our heart. It can't be ritual. It can't be religion. It must be relationship. It must be Christ. I would do everything I could to steal the hearts of God's children. By the way, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Talking about Satan's. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are not ignorant of the wiles of the devil. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That word there, that Greek word for world is the word cosmos. In other words, the world system, the world philosophy, the pleasures of the world. They cannot have priority in our life. That's a mistake. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. I would also do this. In stealing the hearts of God's children, I would get them to think that the worldly pleasures will last forever. But they pass away. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Moses realized that. But then comes payday. So if the devil, if I were the devil, there'd be distractions everywhere. Everywhere. I heard this week. I know it's not new for you. The exact number is new for me. Teenagers today are on the internet 4.8 hours a day. I shudder to think what some adults are on. 4.8 hours a day being programmed, loving the world. Computer's a good thing. You can get some information off of it, do some research, all that kind of thing, that's fine. But if I were the devil, I'd make distractions. How many kids are being babysit with their cell phone? They're getting fed it all the time. Can't be without it. Distractions. How about sports? Priorities. Where the sport becomes everything. And we forget that God has got us here in this world to do a work. I would do everything I could to steal the hearts of God's children. I would squeeze out every ounce of your joy. I would offer to you a poison cup filled with the pleasures of this world. So you become addicted to it. Like you're addicted to the world. Here we are, folks. Hey, how about you old guys? What about Fox News? Oh, I'll strike even closer to home. What about Newsmax? You know, we can find better news programs all along. We keep going, but don't make that your life. Don't be distracted. If I were the devil, first thing I would do is I would steal the hearts, the loves of God's children. Next thing I'd do is I'd destroy the Bible. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16. Would you turn over there? 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 16, I would destroy the Bible. William Tyndale, in his day, in 1536, was burned alive at the stake. His last words were, "O God, open the eyes of the King of England." Then 1611 comes along, and we get the King James Bible. And the Bible was put in the English language, written in high language and grammatically correct language from the Textus Receptus. And God has presented for his English-speaking people of the world a classic, the preserved Word of God, the King James Bible. I love it. I love it. I love that it's written in exact English. I love that it's written in high English. I love that we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. The scripture says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, and righteousness. Do you know that the only translation of the Bible, the only version of the Bible taken from the TR, which the church used for 1,800 years, is the King James Bible? All the modern translations, by the way, this was not a problem until the 60s. It was in the 1800s that Westcott and Hort come up with their own little eclectic text, and they used less than 1% of the existing manuscripts to put together that text, corrupt text. And it was just a master stroke by Satan. You know, up until the 1960s, every gospel preaching church in English, every gospel preaching church, we were all using the same Bible. Now there's over 900 versions of the Bible in English, and none of them are taken from the TR, except the King James. You know what I had to do? I look back in hindsight. I wasn't smart enough to see it then. I don't think anybody was. But I look back in hindsight, and that's when it started, in the 60s, where the American churches grabbed a hold of all these other translations. Boy, what a powerful blow by Satan. Hath God said? If I were the devil, I'd do all I could to dilute and destroy the Word of God. I would dumb down the people. I'd get them away from the Word of God. I'd destroy the Bible. I'd do all I could. If I were the devil, the third thing I would do today is I'd cause Christians to fight. Let's go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There's a lot of preaching right there. That perfectly joined together. The church of Corinth was already divided. They'd already divided up into different camps. And that word there for being perfectly joined together, it's the same word that you and I would use or a doctor would use in mending a bone. It's a compound fracture and you put it back together and you bind it and you take care of it and pretty soon it grows and it grows stronger than it ever was. He said, church of Corinth, you've got to find a way to get together. You can't be divided over silliness because there's souls that are at stake in the family of God. Fundamental Baptist Church, God has protected us again and again and again from division. And well, that's one thing we cannot put up with in the family of God, and that is division. Mark those that cause divisions among you. That's what Paul said. A heretic, that's a divider. After the first and second admonition, reject. The family of God and the cause of Christ is too important. I would do, the third thing I would do as the devil, is I would cause Christians to fight and to divide. And it's not hard. In order to divide and fight, all I got to do is be Tim Rader. I just got to be my flesh. Not hard. I do that, and there's going to be collateral damage. But to be mature and to grow in grace, say, preacher, what would you do if you were the devil? Well, I'd steal the hearts of God's children because God wants their hearts. And he'll bless them if he gets their hearts. Next thing I'd do is I'd destroy the Bible, the governing document, the eternal, verbally inspired word of God. Third thing I'd do is I'd cause Christians to fight somehow, some way, something stupid, something unimportant, something that doesn't matter. A shiny object over here, let these souls go to hell. You know, and find a way to divide the church. That doesn't work at any level. Now, you know what? I mentioned in Sunday school, Abraham Lincoln quoted Jesus, a house divided against itself cannot stand. You show me a ball team that's divided, they're not going to win anything. They'll win some games on talent, and that's it. But sooner or later, they're going to divide, and every time they're going to divide. Next thing I would do if I were the devil, I'd confuse the gospel. Go to Galatians. Galatians. And don't you know the devil has done a good job at this? Everything that I am mentioning here this morning, if you look back when I'm all said and done, you say, well, he checked that one. The devil checked. Oh, yeah, see that today in our culture. Oh, yeah, check that one, man. Oh, yeah, check that one. It's like we're not ignorant of his wiles. That is the word strategies. Satan has been using the same tactics ever since the garden. There's no original thinking in him. He knows where we are weak in the flesh, and he goes after it. So God said he was going to bless Israel through Abraham. I'm going to destroy Abraham. God said he was going to bring the Savior through the seed of Abraham. Well, I'm going to destroy the entire nation. God said he was going to bless the church, and the church is his idea for reaching the whole world. I'm going to divide the church. I'm going to compromise the church. I'm going to diminish the church. I'm going to find a way to steal the hearts of God's people, get them distracted. I'm going to find a way to destroy the word of God. I'm not going to be Bible preaching churches anymore. I would confuse the gospel. How many people are in churches today? And it's a good crowd this morning. I'm thankful you're here and you're hungry for the word of God. But how many people are sitting in churches, and if somebody told them how to get saved, how to get born again, they would get saved. But nobody does. Because the whole issue is fogged and muddied up. Paul here says to the church at Galatia in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert or twist the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. One thing I would do if I were the devil is I would get the gospel all mixed up. I would have people think it's ritual. I would have people think it's lighting a candle. I would have people think it's taking the Lord's table at communion. I would have people to think it's baptism. I would have others have it to think you're just doing the best you can. You just struggle and you hang on, brother. You know, if your good works outweigh your bad works, then you get to go to heaven at that great judgment in the sky. I would completely make them ignorant of the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know why so many people get saved at funerals? Because the gospel's presented. And so, would you like to get saved? Yes. Right now, here's what you got to do. Did you pray just now and ask Jesus in your heart? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Because it's clear. That's the way Bible preaching must be. If I were the devil, I would confuse the gospel, mixed messages. Paul said to that same church in Galatia, look at chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Christ, Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's talking about going back to the law there. Verse 13 says, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. But the point is this. The gospel is the primary message of the Church of Jesus Christ. And that'll be the primary message of every Christian. Okay, I'm almost through. If I were the devil, I'd steal the hearts of God's children. If I were the devil, I'd destroy the Bible. If I were the devil, I'd cause Christians to fight. If I were the devil, I'd confuse the gospel. And then number 5, if I were the devil, I would create apathy. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. Heard it all before, preacher. Not telling me anything new. Yeah, I know. I'm supposed to be faithful to church. And yeah, I know. I'm supposed to read my Bible. And I'm getting along so far. Everything's going to be just fine. And apathy. I'm not against God, mind you. Man, I'm not against God. I even tithe. Man, I'm not against God. But you know what? I've got things I got to do that are more important. Things I got to do that are more lucrative, whatever it would be. I would create apathy. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Matthew 12:30. He that is not with me is against me. This morning in Sunday school, we read of those people that are enemies of the cross of Christ, and we found out they weren't unbelievers. They were believers that were not givers, instead they were takers. They were always the most important person in the room. Those people are enemies to the cross of Christ. Born again, perhaps, going to heaven. If they're born again, they're going to heaven. But they're enemies. They're hindrances. People are tripping over their poor lives and poor testimonies. I'd create apathy. Look at chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. It's easy to fall asleep. It's easy to spiritually nod off, not be zealous, lift our feet, be at ease in Zion, because we know we're going to heaven. And it's easy to be self-indulgent and make yourself the most important person in the room and not realize that this world, this entertainment, drunken world, it's all temporary. And souls are slipping into eternity. I'd create apathy. You know something else I would do? Look at Luke chapter 17. I've just got two more things. Now hit this quick. Luke in chapter 17. Verse 6. I would minimize faith. Program, money, power. That's not what New Testament Christianity is about. That's business. That is not the Church of Jesus Christ. I would minimize faith. I would help people to think somehow along the way that they're the key to everything. And it's only what they can do by the sweat of their brow. And I'd leave God out of the picture because God helped the devil if the church ever turns to the throne of God and starts praying again and starts exercising faith. Without faith, Hebrews 11:5, it is impossible to please God. Look what Jesus said here in Luke in chapter 17. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And over again, Jesus taught how little faith it really takes to do the work of God. Everything that has happened here, by the way, at Fundamental Baptist Church, that is of eternal consequence, is a faith. It's a faith. And if we just had a little bit of faith, what could be done? Okay, here's a very, very real illustration. Pickford Maplewood Football Co-op. They're doing their part. We're doing our part. We got some good players on the team. They got good players on the team. Right now, they're 8-0. You know how many games they have won by coming from behind? Do you know how many times this week it looked in peril? How many were at that game Friday night after seeing that first quarter? Do you think Pickford had a shot? Man, Newberry, you're just dominating the line of scrimmage. Just because Pickford's not big, you know what? But they got, you say, oh, they got that work ethic. And I know that's part of it, but I'll tell you something you don't know. They pray in the huddle. Some of our young men say, hey, guys, time to get together and pray. You know some of those plays were miracle plays? Do you know that? Yeah, you think about that. What was the final score there, Josh? 60 to 52? Yeah, come right down to the end. Man, and I mean, differences. But in the locker room, I'm proud of some of our boys. They're not ashamed of Jesus. They're actually going over there and making an impact. Some of their boys came to youth group on Wednesday night. You know why? Because somebody with a little bit of backbone says, guys, right now we got to pray. Let's get together. Let's get together. Man, you ever hear of a football team doing that in the middle of a game? Before the game? Sometimes. After the game? Thank you, God, for the win. You don't hear of that very often. Just a little bit of faith. Now, it might be God's will they lose this coming Friday. I hope not. I want them to be, 9-0. But you know what? But you can ask God and ask God for his best. That's a little bit of faith. What could happen at Fundamental Baptist Church with a little bit of faith? What would happen in your home with a little bit of faith? How about you stop being full of anxiety and making everything work by the sweat of your brow? How about you do what you can do, but before you do that, you go to God and ask for his blessing. You go to God and ask for his leadership. If I were the devil, I would minimize faith, because the only way this world is going to be reached with the gospel just before the rapture is a church that's full of faith. A people that is full of faith. I'd minimize it. I'd destroy Israel. I'd crush churches. I'd quench the Holy Spirit. Go back again to 1 Peter and chapter 5 and verse 8. Minimize the church. Okay, I know I'm preaching at people right now, but I just want you to hear this. You wouldn't tell the pastor this, but in your heart, you've said this time and again. It's only prayer meeting. It's just Sunday night. Man, I got preached at this morning. I saw the brethren this morning. You didn't see all the brethren, because some of them work shifts and they come on Sunday night. Some of them just come on Wednesday night. Praise God. There's a couple different groups here this morning. They have never even been here on a Sunday morning. They've been just coming on Wednesday night. I'm glad for them stepping out, reaching out. They didn't know there's this many people at Fundamental Baptist Church. And you don't even know they've been coming to church, because you have never been to prayer meeting in weeks and a month of Sundays or Wednesdays or whatever. The fact is this, as the devil, I would minimize the church. It's not that important. It's not that big a deal. When it is, 1 Peter 5 verse 8, be sober. Stand with me, would you please? Be sober. We're at war. Be sober. Be vigilant. Don't stand at ease. Because your adversary, we have an enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, and he's on the hunt. He's seeking whom he may devour. I heard a quote this week. Man, I memorized it. I thought, I like that. I like that. We don't promote the NFL here. There's too much debauchery out there. Debauchery. But I tell you what. The coach of the Lions, I'm really starting to like him. I don't think he's born again. I don't believe that for a minute. It's not like he's my hero. He's not. But I love the attitude he's getting into that team, that grit. He was asked after the win last week. I'll keep this short. I know you're standing. He was asked after the win this last week. He said, Coach, how's it feel to know that every other team in the NFL, now you're top dog in the NFC Central, you're 4-1, and people are hunting down the Detroit Lions. You know what his response was? You talk about a one-liner. He said, they won't have to look far to find the Detroit Lions. In fact, when they open their front door, we'll be waiting for them on their front porch. I thought, that's the way the church is supposed to be, right there. The gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. A church that knows faith. A church that calls out to God. A church that's fully in love with Jesus Christ. Man, a church that's unified and together and holding on to the word of God and not confusing the message of the gospel. That's the church that God is going to bless. That's the church that hell fears.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast, when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.